This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yeah! Welcome to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
We have reached the final hour. It is a loaded Sunday VSiN Weekend Hill alongside John Jastrzemski, and to have some fun breaking down the ins and outs of what the SEC is going to look like this season. And I'm curious to pick his brain on the Houston Texans going into the year. Cole Thompson, check him out, SEC Unfiltered, the managing editor for the Texans Wire. Cole, we'll start with the NFL and then we'll work into college football. Texans, last year I was in on them. I had a crazy future on them to go win the AFC to win the Super Bowl. As you can imagine, I was quite disgusted, devastated, all of the above when I watched C.J. Stroud. I think he just threw another interception at Gillette Stadium against the Patriots. I love the defense. I think it's the best defense in the NFL. I think it can carry you to a Super Bowl. What's the confidence here? What's the confidence level in Houston at the moment when it comes to C.J. Stroud? And can this offense be at least Darnold-esque to get that defense to the top of the mountain?
It's a couple of things if we're going to be real. I would say the confidence level internally, we're looking at about a 7.5 to 8 when it comes to C.J. Stroud. They feel really good about a couple of things. Number one, it's another year in the offensive personnel underneath Nick Caley. So you have an offensive coordinator that wanted to run a lot of 12 and 13 looks last season with double tight ends that didn't have the actual personnel members to have a functioning offense. Now you add it in the pieces, but you feel more comfortable running the show. Number two, they went out and they brought in guys who fit the identity of what is necessary to run a Nick Caley-led offense. One major asset that they talk about is you need to have those dudes in the trenches that are not going to start a bar fight, but they sure as hell are going to end one. They're the type of guys that will throw you through a window like back in an old Western movie. They got those guys now. Wyatt Teller, Braden Smith. They went and they drafted Keelan Rutledge out of Georgia Tech in the first round. This is a guy who currently is picking fights with Will Anderson just because of he likes to have fun during practice. Like, that's the mentality of what you got in the offensive line. And they went out and they brought in a couple more tight ends. Marlon Klein, the second round pick out of Michigan. They brought in Foster Moreau, known for being a blocking tight end. And they brought in David Montgomery, who is more of a physical bruising back that fits the offensive personnel really inside the red zone and has 33 touchdowns in the last 3 years. The big question that you have is, what more do you need to see from CJ this year? What more is it that you need to trust from CJ this year? Because of there were moments last season where it felt like pass protection was good. There was a decent enough run game. They were finding an identity. And CJ was playing scared. CJ was playing a little bit too up-tempo. He was rushing his throws. He was putting the ball into double coverage that you would love to see from a rookie because of they're making that transition. Not a third-year player who's yet to be able to meet his goals that he set back in 2023. So the defense is going to build him a lot out of trouble. I think that this is the best defense in the NFL. I think that we're talking about with the new additions that they brought on in and what they have with more veteranship and Kalen Ballock, Kamari Lassiter, another year with Henry Tewatoa. They're going to be talked about in the way that we talked about that 2000 Baltimore Ravens defense. You just need to have continuity with this offensive personnel. I would say they're probably the favorites in the AFC for a good reason. I think they're a 12-win team. I think they're probably going to host multiple playoff games this year. But it really all comes down to C.J. Stroud. And if he does deliver, well, that's why you're going to see David Mulligeta throw a bunch of money in the Texans' face and say, you got to sign him long-term.
Okay, Cole, one more on the Texans from me. Week one, I absolutely love them against the Buffalo Bills. That has been a house of horrors for Josh Allen. It was against Deshaun Watson many moons ago. We saw him lose a Thursday night game last year. Can I get you on board, Texans, grabbing a point in week one?
I would easily take the point. I would do that. I'd take them by a touchdown in this game. Again, you mentioned it, JJ. This has been like the kryptonite for the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen since the days of Deshaun Watson. They don't go into Houston. They don't go into Reliance Stadium and find a way to win. And the biggest thing about that is Josh Allen has looked dreadful the last three times that he's played against the Houston Texans at Reliance Stadium. So you have the number one defense that is going to be very much poised to have another surgent year with now stability at the safety position that they didn't have last season. You're going to have a better offensive line, and you're going to be able to have Caden McDonald that not enough people are talking about from Ohio State just swallowing up that middle of the interior that's going to shut down the run game. I think that while Joe Brady was the right hire and is a good coach, they're going to be in for a world of hurt against Houston week one.
All right, Cole, let's switch to college football. I will give you the floor. Your opinion that is most extreme to the good or the bad. You think this team's going to be way better than most people think or way worse than most people think. You can pick any team you want. Who would you go with?
The way better right now, I personally still think it's going to be Alabama. Because Alabama, when we talk about them, they're an uncertainty, guys. But that doesn't mean it's bad. It just means that there's a lot of unknown. And that's so uncommon in Tuscaloosa because of what we've seen from the Nick Saban era. Oh, you know, you lose an offensive lineman who was a first-round pick. That's cool. There was a guy who was sitting and waiting in the wings the last 2 years that would have started for 129 other schools and been an All-American. So Alabama went out and they tried to fix their offensive line. They finally brought in a running back that really fits the identity of what Ryan Grubb wants to run with the freshman EJ Crowell. And the funny thing is that they now have the quarterback, whether it be Keelan Russell or whether it be Austin Mack, that was handpicked by Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb. Remember, Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson were Nick Saban quarterbacks that Kalen DeBoer said, all right, you're in the system. We like what you've done. We're going to keep you around and we're going to have you start. So now you get the quarterback to really run the Kalen DeBoer offense that was so potent and lethal during his two seasons at Washington and his one season at Fresno State when he had Jake Haener. That defense is still going to be one of the best in college football. I was actually texting a buddy of mine that works on the Alabama beat. And once again, he told me that the secondary alone, you're going to have guys who are going to be fighting for reps that will be taken out for a play, and they'll be upset because they feel like that their job is on the line. That's how deep they are in the secondary. They really do like what they have on their interior defensive line this year. There are some question marks when it comes to the physicality of Alabama, because if we did see them take a massive step back in not only the way that they looked on the field, but the way they acted after losing games, and it was kind of far from the standard, but they still are going to be, I think, one of the more complete teams in the SEC. I think they will be probably in that 9-10 win range, flirting for a college football playoff berth. And then on the other side, as much as I want to believe in Lane Kiffin, because I think that Lane Kiffin's offense is going to be lethal, and it always is, you still have a ton of questions at LSU. You have an absolute bucket load of uncertainties this year. Number one, it's a brand new coaching staff coming on in and you're trying to go ahead and set a new culture. Number two, it's 55 new players that all come from different aspects of the game. You have guys from the FCS level, guys from the Mountain West, the SEC, the ACC. And so while you added in 50 new pieces, which is great, it doesn't mean it's all going to gel together instantaneously. And then you got to talk about the big elephant in the room, which is Sam Leavitt. What Sam Leavitt are we getting? Because 2024 Sam Leavitt, that was a guy that was a fringe top 10 quarterback in Kenny Dillingham's system. Last season, massive setbacks when it came to his footwork, his progression. He's the right fit to run a Lane Kiffin offense. But knowing how many pieces all have to be cohesively gelled together to begin the season, I think they're going to drop two of their first four games at Ole Miss versus Texas A&M. They may get hot down the stretch, but it's going to be too little too late for the Tigers to make the playoff in 2026, in my opinion.
2 weeks from now, we're going to be recapping and reacting to TCU North Carolina in week zero. Will this be the same as last year where TCU buries them and say, man, how long is the Belichick era going to last? Or does Belichick have a trick up his sleeve? Maybe they're a little better than we people think. TCU now a 7.5-point favorite. Give me a thought or two on Carolina and what you expect from this game and their season in the last few minutes.
Well, Will, I have a bet going on right now with a couple friends that says North Carolina made the dumbest hire that I've ever seen in the history of college football, that they will not get past 5 wins. And if they do, I have to shave my head and my beard. So I'm really hopeful that we see TCU start off the season on a really good note, because I can't afford watching Billy Edwards go into Dublin and set the tone. What's so interesting when it comes to the addition of a TCU, they went out and they hired Sarluce, who was the offensive coordinator last season at UConn. UConn was a top 15 scoring offense, and they were lethal in the run game, especially in the play action and in the RPO system. They bring in this quarterback named Jaden Craig from Harvard, and he was really, really polished for Harvard for the Crimson the last few years. He had 28 touchdowns, over 3,600 yards last season. He's the ideal fit of what you want to run with this offense underneath TCU. And what's so interesting is that there's people that live currently in Fort Worth that are saying, the style of play that we need to be successful in the Big 12, is actually going to fit better with a guy like Jaden Craig over what we had with Josh Hoover, who's now off to Indiana. They still have a very decent offensive line, but they do have a new offensive line coach. Jordan Dwyer really came on strong late last season. I think that when you look at just so many question marks and a lot of the off the field stuff that has been going on with North Carolina, the let go of Michael Lombardi, what you have with Steve Belichick walking away for a little bit of time. They are just in a position where it doesn't feel like anything whatsoever is clicking. And I truly think that we're going to see TCU, while it is a neutral site game across the pond and in Dublin, which, by the way, if you go there, enjoy a cold, you know, Guinness on me. Still, we're talking about one offense being functional and another team being so out of left field dysfunctional. I would take TCU even if they had secondary players out there.
All right, Cole, 30 seconds. SEC, gut feel. Who is the champion in early December?
Until proven otherwise, I think it's still going to be Georgia. They feel like that they may not have the most eidetic roster when it comes to names. Doesn't mean they're a bad roster. They absolutely still have talent across the board. They're deep when it comes to the interior of the defensive line. They're very deep when it comes to the offensive line. It's more mature this year. They've had over three guys with now an extra 1,500 to 1,800 snaps under their belt. Gunnar Stockton steps up in some of the biggest games this season, and they really do like wide receiver Talon Taylor, who has taken a massive step forward. I think it's Georgia until it's not. And the play that I would say is keep a close eye on Oklahoma. Oklahoma is going to sneakily be a 10-win team and fight for a college football playoff berth, hosting another playoff game.
Like the sound of that. Both Mr. Will Hill and John Jastrzemski are going to be in on the Oklahoma Sooners. Cole, we appreciate the perspective. Enjoy the start of the college football and the NFL season. Be here before you know it. Take care, dude.
Thanks, guys.
When we come back, Cole. That sixth seed, AL wild card, up for grabs is an understatement. We got more on the Sunday card coming your way next.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Preseason football is back, and it's time to book your trip to Vegas. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. They have your required in-person registration. They handle your weekly submissions so you can make picks from anywhere. One trip to Vegas, play all season long. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. It's the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. Will Hill and John Jastrzemski. Will, NFL preseason week one. Underdogs. 9-6-1 straight up. 11-4-1 ATS. Unders 12-4. Now, this comes from Brad Powers, so I want to make sure I give him credit. If you steam chased every 3-point or more line move, side slash totals, right before kickoff. Listen to this, Will. 0-10-1 ATS.
Ooh.
Yikes.
Not good. Got to get the best of the number. And in years past, you know, it's kind of counterintuitive, but the information would be so strong. Hey, we're playing our guys. We're not that. Even if you were a point, 2 points, 3 points late to the move, that you'd actually do pretty well. And the numbers bear that out. But the market's just getting more efficient, and there was a perfect example, the Colts and the Patriots. I think the Colts opened like a 2-point dog. It went to, you know, Patriots not playing anybody. Colts closed -3. It's hard to land in the middle, but guess what it did? Because 0 is right in the middle. Colts +2 is a winner. Patriots +3 is a winner when it ended up 13-all. So that was an example. Titans, 49ers, Titans were like a 2-point dog to start. They closed anywhere from 6-7-point dogs. It lands right on Titans by 6. So, you know, you get the best of the number, you're still doing fine. But if you're chasing these numbers, it's not a good habit to be in.
Okay, well, Sunday card Major League Baseball, fascinating on a lot of different fronts because you have a couple of real juicy matchups.
Brewers-Dodgers in the late afternoon window on the East Coast, NLCS rematch, Yankees-Blue Jays, ALDS rematch, and the Blue Jays are smack dab right in the middle of this insane wild card race in the American League, because the way it shakes out, Tampa, comfortable position despite losing two straight to the Orioles. They have a wraparound four-game series, so it is game three of four today, not game three of three. But Tampa right now with a comfortable lead within the AL East. The Yankees and the Red Sox in prime positions to be wild card number one and wild card number two. But then there is the final wild card spot. Texas is the team at the moment. They're two games under 500. A half game behind them. Toronto, red hot this week. 7-3 in their last 10. Big series against Boston. Good weekend so far against the Yankees. We'll see if it's a monstrous weekend a little bit later on today. You got the Orioles there. You got the Tigers there. The Twins are a game out. This is a, no pun intended, wild race with a bunch of mediocre, middling teams. And the take and the case I made at the start of the show, the Toronto Blue Jays, who I left for dead for many others, they see them 8-9 games under 500. It's not the year. It's not meant to be. This big week for them, having Cease and Soriano as that 1-2 punch, having one of the best closers in the game in Varlin closing these games out, that's the team to me. If they get in, Will, they're the most dangerous, without question.
Yeah, and I'm more of a Baltimore guy. Baltimore was my team before the year. I thought the pitching would be a little bit better. Rodgers had a little resurgence recently. I like the lineup. A lot of those guys have gone backwards, though, just in terms of the development, because it was just a couple years ago, it was almost a little bit, JJ, like the OKC Thunder. Remember they had that year out of nowhere? They win 101 games. It was like, man, this team, they've got young players. They've got a farm system. They're going to be great. They're going to be great in the future, but they're actually good right now. And they look like, you know, ahead of schedule and just right on the right track to be, I don't want to say a dynasty, but really good for a really long time. And it just kind of fizzled out. They lost the division to the year with the Yankees, and you know, they've gone backwards ever since, but there's still enough talent there. I like them better than these other teams. I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit, you know, their run differential, I know no Scooble, no Mize. I mean, we're splitting hairs with all these teams. You can throw a blanket over all these teams. There's a reason they're all 3, 4, or 5 games under 500. They're all about equal. They all have their flaws. I would go Baltimore, but it's something you mentioned early on. It was perfect, and I know all these sports are doing it because it's extra revenue, it's extra inventory to just have more games to have on TV, and it's just more money. Man, it was perfect when it was 2 wild cards and you had a 1-game playoff. We don't need these teams that are 3-4 games under 500
in
the
playoffs.
The Yankees are 13 over.
Brilliant. Brilliant. You're brilliant. This is brilliance to the nth degree. I have to give you all the credit in the world. Sorry, I'm jumping down your throat, but I have to praise the point that you're making. It's so brilliant. Well, I don't need these extra wild card teams. But this is what baseball wants, dude. You know it and I know it. This is what they want.
These teams, I mean, these sports all want the extra money. We're getting extra NCAA tournament teams. NFL went from 6 playoff teams to 7. NBA get the nonsense with the 9th and 10th. I mean, who needs the 10th seed in the East, the Chicago Bulls, every year to be in the play-in? It's extra money, extra revenue, but it was perfect, I thought, a couple years ago or for the years they did it. And they did it for about a decade. That 1-game playoff was so exciting. You get some classic games. You got punished for being the wild card, and then the 3 division winners were in. I think this is just too much, but hey, it's look, once the games come, that's a fun week. You get those best 2 out of 3 series. I'm not complaining about the games, and we all like the games once they get there. I just think it's being exposed for what it is. You're letting a lot of mediocrity into the mix here.
Okay, a couple of these lines for Sunday. Yankees, Blue Jays. You like the under. I like the Yankees. In some places, Will, the total has dropped under 7.
Oh, boy.
Dude.
That's too
seven
much.
It's, in some places.
So we're looking at 6.5. So that's 3-3 you lose. I mean, that's tough because obviously a 7th run has to come from somewhere. I can't do unless it's the only time I would bet under 6.5. It was like back in the National League when you had the no DH, the pitchers would hit and you get like Kershaw versus Lincecum. And even then, like 3-3, it's just an error, bullpens, a tie game. Like there's just so many ways to lose 6.5. I think you're probably cutting it too thin, but the market's adjusting. The Yankees are just a dead under team right now. They can't hit, and they've got really good pitching. So I'm not surprised. I gave this out last night on VSiN with Brad Taylor when it was under 7.5. At 6.5, I think that's a tough one to swallow.
Here's one we haven't mentioned yet today, and it's a part of the card, and it's the Sunday night baseball game. Seattle and Houston. Seattle is 8 games under .500. They're a mess. Yet they're not dead. I thought Friday might have finished them. They bounced back and they win on Saturday. Am I crazy to like the Mariners here with this line going from 130 to 120?
Wu has been much better at home as opposed to on the road, and this is going to be on the road. And we still have Brown, right? I know some of these starters have changed here, and we got Skeen, Scratch, and a couple other guys. There's some confusion about the pitching, but I would actually lean towards Brown at home. I don't like Wu on the road, and it is Hunter Brown, minus 118, total 7.5. I'm on the other side. I don't like this Seattle team. I know we all keep waiting for them to get going, and it's just that car, you know, that trying to start that car, and you hear that sound, oh, it's about to start. It just never seems to start with Seattle. So we'll see here if they can get it going, but I prefer Houston to Seattle just because of Wu's struggles on the road, but probably not enough to lay it. Although, you know what? Standalone game Sunday night, probably won't have anything else to do. I'll probably end up with a bet. Probably end up with a bet on Houston here.
And I'm proud of myself because I feel like I bet this guy every time he's on the mound. I am laying off Cleveland with Bibee. Bibee is a JJ guy. I feel like I bet him way too often. I had him against the Tigers the other day. It did not go particularly well for me. He racks up the strikeouts. We know that. Any interest? Padres, Guardians, which is basically an even money coin flip game?
No, it would be under nothing for me. Mize obviously familiar with Cleveland, having pitched in that division, but Cleveland's familiar with him. It would be just a lean towards the under. Remember, we always mention this doing these Sunday shows. Check the lineups because Sunday, especially day games, and you get pretty much all day games except for the Sunday night baseball, you get some different lineups. Sometimes you're a different catcher. Sunday's a day where you can see some different lineups. So those lineups are starting to pop up pretty much for all the 1 o'clock Eastern games. And we do get, JJ, a 12:15 Eastern game, which less than an hour. So I'm all for that. But make sure you check these lineups. But it would be under nothing for me, but I'll probably ultimately pass this one.
This is another honorable mention. Kind of like Arizona today to finish off the Braves in a 3-game sweep. Arizona's red hot. They're playing really good baseball.
They have
a little revenge angle for Mike Soroka, the old Brave. Throwing the
ball
really, really well for Arizona. Diamondbacks, plus money. Enticed?
I don't like Elder. I admit Arizona's been hot. And you're getting plus money. I just want a little bit more, especially when I feel like good teams, and it's kind of square and it's kind of oversimplistic, but I believe the stats bear it out. When you have a good team at home looking to avoid a sweep, that's actually a good play on situation. So in motivation, it's not something you think about or talk about a lot with baseball because it's more about execution than it is effort as opposed to some of these other sports, but would be just a lean towards Arizona. I'm not actually playing. Are you going to take the stakes here, or are you just
kind of leaning there? I'm not. I'm not. It's just a lean. I wanted to hit a couple of the honorable mentions that I didn't fire on the best bet card. Just goes to show you what a great day in baseball it is. We have a lot of good matchups, a lot of juicy games, a lot of games of significance. We come back, though. My old pal at the Ringer, I love him, one of my best pals, Raheem Palmer. What's he thinking for this NFL season? Raheem the Dream, up next.
Tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Week zero of college football is almost here, and with the NFL regular season right behind it, now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today and get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, and proven betting systems. And best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. You also get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That is VSiN.com/subscribe. We'll have Raheem Palmer actually in about 15 minutes or so. A little boo-boo on my part. I'll take the L on that, and that's the way it goes. Will, now that we've had a full week of preseason games to digest, you don't want to get nuts with overreacting because a majority of these guys do not play. However, there are some takeaways you can have. There are some thoughts that can percolate within the brain. So you watched games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If there's one or two that really stood out to you, what would they be?
Yeah, I'm going to miss it today because it's gotten back into football mode. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, even though it's not the real thing, people can say it's not alcoholic beer. Hey, when you're watching it and you're betting it, it's it doesn't matter. It cashes the same if it's the Super Bowl. So it was good to have it back. Atlanta, I know it's a team a lot of people are high on, including me. I thought, you know what, skill guys, upgrading coach, pretty good defense, winnable division. I'm very nervous. Tua did not look good, and he might just be shot. I've never been a big fan of his. I just thought, you know what, low bar, and if you get anything out of quarterback, that's a wide-open division. Tua didn't look good. Pierce, the star defensive lineman, suspended for the first half of the season, and Jalon Walker, first overall pick, also out for the year now. That's a lot adding up. So that plus 425 on Atlanta, I'm not as high on it as I was a couple weeks ago. The other one, this is a weird one. The kicker for the Packers. The Packers lost their playoff game because of a kicker. Now, there was some coaching. There were some other things. Wasn't all his fault. But you know what? When you lose by 4 points in a game where you miss three kicks, two field goals, and an extra point, you can blame the kicker. And I understand kicking in January in Chicago or Lambeau, it's not the same as kicking in August when the conditions are perfect. But Trey Smack looked incredible for Green Bay. They might have a real elite kicker. And using a draft pick on a kicker, usually don't do that unless you feel like he's going to be elite. And that kicking position, JJ, that's a position. It doesn't matter until it does. And Packers, you know, all these teams are in close games, and Packers might have gotten a real upgrade there. So down on Atlanta, I like the Packers kicking situation. The last one I would mention, Mendoza, I think, is going to be pretty good. I don't know about superstar. That's always tough to say, but I'd be surprised. The first step, don't have a bust. Don't have somebody that, you know, 2 years from now you need to move on or he's just can't play. I think Mendoza, good head on his shoulders. You know, he's going to stay out of trouble. He's going to study. He's going to have all those intangibles, and he looks physically gifted enough where he's at least going to be like an average top half of the league quarterback. So those would be a few takeaways. What did I say that you agree, disagree with any of it?
Listen, I got to go to where you began. It's Atlanta, and that's how I started the show. I can't believe how many smart people in my life are trying to convince me they like the Falcons to win the division. I mean, look at those quarterbacks. And listen, I lived every snap of the Tua Miami experience from 2020 when he took over for Ryan Fitzpatrick to Brian Flores yanking him in and out of the lineup to the two seasons of absolute brilliance. And I got to give credit where credit is due because in 22 and in 23, he put up monstrous stat lines for Mike McDaniel. In 2023, he led the league in passing. But it was so abundantly clear to me that after 2024, he gets hurt, he gets concussed again, he re-aggravates the hip injury. He stunk last year. Couldn't move, couldn't throw. Numbers were way down. Accuracy was not what it was. He shot as a player. So this narrative that all of a sudden Tua is going to find a new lease on life because he's got Bijan Robinson and Drake London, sorry, not buying it. I don't like the Falcons at all. I think they're better off with Michael Penix as opposed to Tua just because I don't know what Michael Penix is. I do know what Tua is at this stage. He's shot. He's got absolutely nothing. So I was out on the Falcons to begin with. I felt like watching a preseason game, it was only more validated and vindicated. But we'll see how the season shakes out. The other one that you didn't mention, and I want to throw this one in there, Will. If you like the Giants this year, and I like Jackson Dart, I think he could play. Had a really nice touchdown. He's also going into medical tent in the first game of the year. And let's make something crystal clear. This was not Jackson Dart running around like a lunatic where, you know, he's running around like a man possessed and he takes a vicious, unnecessary hit. This was a football play and Tyrone Tracy, his running back, misses a block and he gets clobbered by a safety on a blitz. It's a little different. But if I'm a Giant fan and I'm like, man, I need Jackson Dart to go and play a bunch of games here. That was not a comforting thought, seeing him go to the medical tent in game one of the preseason.
Great. And I know he had some issues and some fans had some issues that, hey, I know I've gotten hit in the past. Every time I get hit, I shouldn't be going to the concussion tent. It wasn't a concussion issue. I got hit in the ribs. I got hit in the middle of my body. I'm fine. Did you have an issue with that? I'm sure you've heard the same things where, hey, there's a little bit of a target on my back because I've taken hits in the past. it seems like I'm getting, what's the opposite of preferential treatment? I'm being almost discriminated against for my past, where every time they put a finger on me, you're rushing me off to the tent and I miss plays. Do you buy any of that? Do you think that's fair or no?
I think there's a narrative to it at the moment, but Jackson Dart has taken a bunch of vicious hits. So it kind of like, yeah. we went through this with Tua, with all the concussions, when there would be quote unquote plays where anytime he gets hit, you're like, did he get concussed? Did he get concussed?
Right.
Do we have to send him to the medical tent? And the difference between Tua and Jackson Dart is Tua wasn't running around as much as Jackson Dart.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, I think there's definitely a little bit of a bias, but my advice to Jackson Dart is don't get hit as badly as you've been getting hit. Not on that play, but just in general.
Yeah, and that was a daring throw. I mean, oh, hey, touchdown. It's going to look good. Looks good on the stat sheet. What a tight window. That was a gutsy throw he threw. I was watching that game live. I thought that had no chance to be completed. He's gonna turn the ball over a little bit. If you're going to be that daring with the ball, and he's a fun player, a daring player, that's kind of sometimes your strengths and weaknesses as a player, as a team, are the same thing. And he's a gunslinger. But, man, throwing the ball in tight spots like that, I'm not sure how much that's going to work once you get into the regular season and you're dealing with, you know, first-team defenses and just trying to sneak the ball into windows like that. There's going to be some that go the other way.
You know, I mentioned a lot of the short, smart people in my life, like Atlanta, as an over. They also are down on the Giants. I don't know if you've noticed that. Like, the public very in on the Giants. I got sucked into the Harbaugh narrative right from Jump Street. And listen, I think it's a massive coaching upgrade for the Giants. Massive, massive, massive. They have a guy who's been a head coach in the league since 2008. There's a proven track record of success. They were an unmitigated disaster. Fourth quarter blown leads, rudderless ship as far as discipline. Like, I know you could say, hey, the Ravens, JJ, blew a ton of fourth quarter leads. That is also true. But there's a baseline of success and of confidence that you're getting from this head coach. Are you more glass half full, glass half empty on the Giants, who have a win total at 7.5 going into the year?
More down. I just don't know how good the roster is. I think Harbaugh, okay, you could tell me he's an upgrade. It's hard to argue that. What do you make of the last 3 or 4 years with the Ravens, where he had some bad playoff exits? He blew a lot of leads. And I mean, other people have made this point. Everyone said Mike McCarthy, what a buffoon, not a good coach. Meanwhile, Harbaugh is this genius. They both won one Super Bowl. The resumes, win loss record, Super Bowl, a lot of that's equal. A lot of that's even. And the division is tough. And if you think Washington is going to bounce back in Washington, that might be another team worth mentioning, because Mariota's already hurt. Tunsil's already hurt. We know Daniels misses games. Look at that backup quarterback situation. It's Sam Hartman or Calic Manis. They might be in some trouble if Daniels misses games. But I'm more under than over with the Giants, but not enough to bet it.
Yeah, I think it's a very tough one, because I do think the schedule eases up after the first couple of weeks. The problem is that division is loaded. Philly, by far and away, the most talented team. Dallas, you know I'm big on them going into the year. Big on Dakota Prescott, despite what the control room and Vison may have to say. They're down on me for this. I think it's going to be another monster statistical season for Dak, and he'll be in the MVP race. Washington's one of the hardest teams in the league to figure out, because Jaden Daniels was such a stud 2 years ago. He looked like one of the best quarterbacks in football. It was arguably the best rookie season a quarterback has ever had coming out of college. Last year, everything went wrong for Washington. Daniels did not look great. We did our MVP draft. Things go right for Washington. 21 is going to be a short number. But can they go and find themselves a resurgence as they have a win total that is exactly the same as the Giants at 7.5? Two stay-away teams for me. Giants will be improved. The question is by how much and how many games are you getting out of one Jaden Daniels? We'll have to wait and see. Best bets. Will feels good about these. I feel good about these. We'll wrap up the VSiN Weekend Morning Line with a bang when we come back right after this.
VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Home stretch. Feast and weekend morning line. It's Will Hill and John Jastrzemski. And I love this guy. He's one of my best pals in the business. We worked together for a long, long time over at The Ringer. You can check him out. All the Ringer Wives guys shows they're doing on Twitch, wherever you get your podcasts. A man who needs no introduction. Raheem the Dream Palmer. Raheem, I'm starting right here. You've watched all these preseason games for 3 days. If there's a takeaway from what you saw Thursday, Friday, Saturday that carries over into the regular season that's tangible, what is it, big boy?
I am really concerned about the Atlanta Falcons. Like, they look so rough. And obviously, you have a quarterback room where Tua, he looks completely shot. You know this because you're a Dolphins fan. And then, obviously, Michael Penix is still injured, and he's not ready. So I don't know what's going to happen with this offense. I mean, we talk about Raheem Morris, and he wasn't the best head coach. But one thing that you can say about Raheem Morris is they had good defenses. I don't know if the defense is going to be good. I mean, you got one of your main players suspended for 8 games. And I don't know what's going to happen with the quarterback room. So I might find myself playing the Atlanta Falcons or fading them earlier on in the year because I don't know if they're going to put it together.
All right, Raheem, I'm curious. A team you're much higher on than everybody else or much lower on than anyone else, do you have sort of an outlier extreme opinion? I'll give you the floor. Take it any direction you like in terms of these NFL teams.
A team that I'm much higher than anybody else. I think it's probably, I actually think the Titans, they're probably a team that I'm a little bit higher on than everybody else. I think, you know, just by proxy, if you look at the fact that, you know, Callahan just was one of the worst head coaches in NFL history. I mean, I think they were like 4-9 straight up. And I mean, against the spread, they weren't much better than that at all. So I'm looking at Robert Saleh being able to come in, make the defense a little bit better. And, you know, I think they're going to be competitive. It wouldn't surprise me in a division, you know, the AFC South, they actually challenged for a playoff berth. So I like the Tennessee Titans. That's a team that I'm a little bit higher on than anybody else. A team that I'm lower on than anybody else, I don't know. That's a tough one. I think everybody's kind of like penciling in the Rams to win the Super Bowl. And obviously maybe they should be the favorite, but I don't think they're as great as everybody thinks. So I think, you know, obviously you got Matthew Stafford. He's 39 years old. Well, he's going to be 39 by the time of the Super Bowl. And it's just like, you know, quarterbacks tend to fall off a cliff. So I think I'm a little bit lower on them than people are.
Dream. That's a very fair point on the Rams. Now, Seattle won the Super Bowl. We watched it together. They absolutely smoked the New England Patriots. And you know what the narrative is, right? Hey, Super Bowl hangover, soft schedule a year ago, easiest road to a Super Bowl that you could ever have. That's all true, fair, obvious. I've gotten some PTSD, though, Raheem, about just blindly betting the Patriot under. Like, I thought for sure it was going to be one of my biggest plays. I'm like, oh, they're not going to make the playoffs. And then I look at them and I say, I still really like their head coach. I still really like their quarterback. They are better with adding A.J. Brown and Romeo Doubs to the receiver room. And they're going to get 4 wins against the Jets and the Dolphins. Where do we stand on the Patriots this year? Are you looking to buy where many others are looking to sell?
You know, actually, I should have named this team as the team that I'm higher on than everybody else. You know, it's so funny because if you read Billy Walters' books, he did say that during the first 4 games of the NFL regular season, it's worth about 1 point to the other team because there's a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover for the loser and not the winner. But I still like this Patriots team. I mean, Drake May probably should have won MVP last year. I mean, he was absolutely dominant. First in completion percentage, first in EPA per play, first in yards per pass. There's a part of me that just kind of feels like he was a little banged up. And I think A.J. Brown adds a lot to this offense. So, you know, maybe you get a little defensive regression, but they did, you know, add Elijah Vera Tucker to the offensive line. I think, you know, if the offensive line is better, this is still going to be a team who wins, you know, 9, 10, maybe even 11 games. And I actually bet them to win a division. I actually think that they're better than Buffalo. I'm not really that high on Buffalo. I think Buffalo, I mean, if you ask me, the defense over in Buffalo isn't very good. They didn't add much over there. Now, obviously, you know, DJ Moore has good chemistry with Josh Allen, but ultimately, I think you're looking at a Bills team. If you take away Josh Allen, I don't know how much else is there. So I like the Patriots to go over the win total, and I played them to win the division. I look at Buffalo, their schedule. I mean, like, obviously you play, you know, Miami and the Jets four times, but look how they start off the season. You start off at Houston, then you play Detroit, then you play the Chargers, then you play New England and the Rams. You look at, if they don't start off fast, New England could, you know, find themselves in a good position. So I do like the Patriots to win the division. I like the win total over.
Raheem, where are you with the Chiefs? Because on one hand, man, how often do you get Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs 16-1 to win the whole thing? But coming off the injury, wasn't as great last year. The luck in one score games swung the other way after being fortunate 2 years ago. Where do you come down here on Kansas City?
This is kind of like a wait and see. Because I don't know what you're going to get from Patrick Mahomes coming off the injury. You start off the season with Denver and Indianapolis at Miami and then the Raiders. So at worst, they're, you know, 2-2. So, you know, it's probably not a bad thing to play that Super Bowl future. But I just don't know what you're going to get. I think that's the biggest thing. What is Mahomes at this point in time? Because, you know, you can come back and, you know, who knows if he's the same quarterback. I mean, you look at Tom Brady. When he came back that first year in 2009 after his ACL injury, he wasn't the same player. You know, it took some time for him to grow. And it's like you look at the Patriots, they went like 10 years between Super Bowls. Like, people forget that. So, you know, you kind of got to, you know, play by ear. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't have like the preseason that we used to have to where it was like four games and then they played a starter in the last game. So I'm going to kind of wait this out. I'm not going to touch anything with the win total, but I wouldn't be mad at anybody if they played a lottery ticket on the Chiefs.
Dream, I know you're going to love this. I love Dak for MVP this year. I love the Cowboys to win the NFC East. Quinnen Williams on that defense with Kenny Clark. Going and adding Caleb Downs, getting him in the first round, perfect draft pick for your team. Dak puts up numbers year after year after year. You're a Cowboy fan, but you'll shoot it to me straight. You'll tell me if I'm taking crazy pills here. Are you bullish on your Cowboys to get back into the dance? And is this going to be a monster year for my guy, Dakota?
Yeah, I really like Dak Prescott this year, and I like the Cowboys. I mean, you're talking about a team who last year they scored 27 points per game, and the only problem with the team was that they couldn't stop a nosebleed. They were giving up 30 points a game. Now, obviously, you add some pieces. You got Quinnen Williams. You got Malachi Lawrence. You got Caleb Downs. I think the defense is better, and if the defense is just serviceable, this is a team who can truly go out there and make some moves. I mean, they were 31st in EPA per play. I mean, they could not stop anybody. So we know that the offense is there. George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb, Javonte Williams, they had some guys over there. So I agree with you on Dak Prescott. It's just a matter of if the defense can get some stops, and I think they'll be much better. So I agree with you there.
All right, Dream, real quick, what's your plant the flag take right now, doing all your prep, doing all your research? I know you got to have at least one.
My plant the flag take, I like the Houston Texans. I know everybody is super duper high on them, but, I mean, you look at this AFC, I mean, you got questions about Mahomes. You look at the Ravens. I mean, I think the Ravens are going to be really, really good. I think the Ravens are going to start off like 6-1. But, I mean, a lot of people are high on Cincinnati. I'm not that high on Cincinnati. I mean, like, I think the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. We saw that first preseason game. Joe Burrow gets sacked on his first play. So a lot of people are high on Cincinnati. I think they're a team that I'm actually lower on than everybody else. And it wouldn't be surprised that at the end of this year we see Zach Taylor get fired. But I'm very high on that Houston team. Houston, I mean, their defense is absolutely incredible. I think C.J. Stroud is not nearly as bad as he showed himself to be in the postseason. So I'm high on the Texans. I think the Ravens are in for a real bounce back season. And then I think the Bengals might underperform. You know how they struggle in September. So it's a very, very real possibility. Maybe you take that loss against Tampa Bay and Houston, and then you're talking, you know, Zach Taylor, another failed September. So that's my three takeaways.
I love it. Dream, good stuff. Keep up the good work. We'll see you in Vegas in a couple weeks, all right?
No doubt. You have a good one.
That's the great Raheem Palmer. Will, a couple of best bets before we say goodbye. Under Yanks, Jays, what's the other?
Yeah, and I'm not playing. If it's 6.5, I'm not playing it. So got ahead of the number there. And I will go under 4.5, first five, Marlins and Reds. A couple pitchers I like here, so hopefully we can get that one home.
Orioles, Yankees, Minnesota Twins for your boy. Three underdogs. Let's go out with a bang on a Sunday. Don't go anywhere. Ready, set, bet. Matt Brown's going to join you. We got Blaine Crane, Grant Paulson, then 3 p.m. live bet Sunday with Joe Cerullo, Ben Stevens at 7, and then Doug Kazarian with cashing out 10 p.m. Eastern. For Will, JJ, our esteemed crew, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Go cash them. Be good, everybody.